Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. Are you ready for some fun this morning? This is our Wednesday night preschool worship ministry, and they are led by Miss Ramona Hall, Peggy Williams, and Barbara Wolf. They do a fantastic job every single Wednesday night, and they are going to share two songs with you. Let's give them a big hand this morning. Come on.
Some of you in the crowd and say, if you can do that. Good job, guys. Good job.
Good job.
We're so thankful for our preschool music ministry and for what they do on Wednesday nights. We're thankful for our children. You'll hear from them later this season. We are excited to gather together and worship now. We hope you're ready to worship. The church of the week we're praying for today is Life Point Church, our sister church in our city. They have co-pastors Matt Brooks and Quentin Williams. Pray for them and for their ministry. And then our mission of the week that we're praying for is Marshall County Christian Services. We are so thankful to have a strong partnership with MCCS. You may not be familiar with what all they do. It's an umbrella ministry for many things. It would be better to say, what do they not do? There's so much that they do to help people in need through the Second Chance Food Pantry, through the Rooted Women's Study, which is very similar to Christian Women's Job Corps, all the ways they provide for families and do so many things to help people, especially this time of year. So pray for God to provide all the resources needed. Pray for volunteers. Pray for continued blessing upon that as they minister to others. We're thankful for them. Let's pray, and then we'll carry on in worship. Father God, thank you for the preschool choir. Thank you for those children. Lord, I take a second to pray for each of those kids we saw here, and then others who are not able to participate on Wednesday, but that are part of our preschool ministry. Lord, I pray that the parents of those children would speak truth into them on a regular basis, that they would show them what it means to live and love and know you. Lord, I thank you for their teachers and the volunteers that serve in their classes and the choir with missions for them and all the things that happen. Father, I pray that we could be a light and example of who you are and what you're doing in their lives, that all those boys and girls would come to know you at a very young age. And Father, we pray right now for Life Point Church, that you'd move in power among them today. Father, we pray for Marshall County Christian Services. We're so thankful that they are the hands and feet of Jesus in our county. In so many ways. Thank you that we get to be a part of that. We pray that you would be their provider in all things as they seek to minister to more. Father, I pray for every church in our city right now and in our county as they gather to worship, that your name would be lifted up. Father, that we could be reminded that you are on the throne, that you have provided new life for us. And today we worship the risen Savior. We worship a holy God who provides new life for us. And so we will sing now about the miraculous way you came to earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing, Hark the Herald, Angels Sing.
Joyful all ye nations.
Tell someone beside you Merry Christmas, then have a seat, okay? Come together. So we're glad that you... I didn't mean for you to tell them to have a seat, but that's where it works. So we're thankful. Thank you for being here today and worshiping with us. The choir is going to share a song now that honestly, when I heard it a number of months ago, it was the movement behind this series for a sermon this month entitled Manger Throne. It is a beautiful song which reminds us to worship the King of the Manger Throne. The chorus says, "Glory be to you alone, King who reigns on a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own, to Jesus, the King on a manger throne. All hail the King." Could you shout that with me? All hail the King. One more time. All hail the King. Would you listen to these words and be encouraged today?
Could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see, brought every tribe and nation to their knees, arriving with the host of heaven, royal robe and crown, the rulers of the earth all bowing down. But you chose meekness over majesty, wrapped your power in humanity. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own, to Jesus the
Jesus, the King on a manger throne. Father God, thank you. My life, my praise, everything we own, we offer to you. Father, we are reminded from heaven to the cradle, from the cradle to the cross. Oh, Father, thank you so much that the cross was not the end. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for new life for millions and millions and millions of people for 2,000 years. Thank you that you've brought new life to people in this room. Thank you that you've brought new life to people who are participating on the radio, people who are watching online. Father, my prayer that there would not be a single person here today that hasn't experienced the King on a manger throne, that all of us would bow low to you today. Father, you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship choir. I love that song. I love the message. Jesus, the King on a manger throne. You think about the throne, it was a manger and the fact that it was not a chair, but there are so many iconic chairs throughout history. I want to name a few for you right now. I want you to think just about television and the movies for just a moment. There are a number of famous chairs that when you see them, people know what they represent. There's the Iron Throne. There's Archie Bunker's chair, the Matrix wingback chair, the Friend's couch. It's not really a chair, but you know what it is. The Captain's chair from Star Trek, the Emperor's throne from Star Wars. All of these chairs find their significance in the personalities of the people who sat on them. Think about that for a moment. Personalities matter. And then there are the real life chairs that evoke authority. Think about a judge's chair in a courtroom chamber. The high back chair from the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Speaker of the House. And then you have the president's chair in the Oval Office, all evoking great authority. And then there are chairs that harness power. I named just a few. The captain's cockpit chair of a commercial airliner, there's power there. The operator's chair of a large excavator or dirt mover, I would love to be behind one of those someday. The driver's chair of an M1 Abrams tank. You get it? Those have great power behind them. But the most significant of all chairs is a throne. So I want to ask you rhetorically this morning, what makes a chair a throne? It's not ornate jewels. It's not gold. It's not embellishment. It is not finely, ornately carved wood. It's the king. It's the one who sits in it. If you were given a chance to sit on a royal throne, it would not make you a king or queen. Any more than it would make me a king or queen. But any chair a king rests on becomes a throne. And Jesus' throne is not like any of the other chairs I mentioned, but he does exemplify holy personality, authority, and power. And we will find the scripture talks about the personality and the power and the character of the throne of Jesus in multiple ways. Long before Jesus ever went to the manger throne, long before he will come again on his glorious throne, which will happen, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus has always been. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can look back and find Jesus from the beginning of time, Creator Jesus. We can look back and find the manger throne and the humble King, Jesus. You can look into your own life today and find the King of your hearts. He's on the throne of your life. We can look ahead and find the King who is going to come again. But one of the best definitions of Jesus as King is Hebrews chapter 1. If you'll take your Bible and turn there, please, to Hebrews chapter 1. It's not a normal Christmas passage. I understand that. But it gives us such great understanding of the power of Jesus and who he is and what he's come to do for us. Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1, the author says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Verse 3, he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you're my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6, and again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, God says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, here's the key verse, verse 8. But of the Son, Jesus, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. God the Father says of God the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Do you hear that? God the Father speaking of God the Son, saying, your throne will last forever. You do not change. When the earth passes away, you will still reign supreme. Three phrases for you this morning. Jesus has always been your Creator King. Jesus is our Savior King, and Jesus will return as our conquering King. He will come conquering the world. Listen to what Jesus says to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. In the first few chapters of Revelation, Jesus speaks to the churches in that time, and one for Laodicea. It's a very important message, but honestly, it's just as real and relevant for you and me today. Listen to what he says in Revelation 3:21. He says, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Friends, no matter what your situation is, we have an eternal victory in Jesus. Amen. Did you hear that? We have eternal victory in Jesus. Jesus tells the church in Laodicea, and he's saying to you and me, to those that have conquered, I will let you sit with me on my throne. In other words, he's saying, I'm the conquering King. I have conquered, and so I make a way for you. What does that mean for us? What's the implications for us? The implications are these. Jesus, the conquering King, sits with you. If you're here and you're dealing with some pain, he sits with you. If you're here and you're dealing with anger or resentment, listen, friends, he sits with you. If you're here and you're going through a struggle, he sits with you. If you're here in loneliness, he sits with you. On and on we can go. No matter what your circumstance today, we have a conquering King. He has a throne of victory. Now listen to Jesus describe himself in the final judgment seat throne someday to come. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks these words. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he's talking about himself, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will gather all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. Now that's a hard passage, but Jesus is saying, I will be on a judgment throne in a day to come. Not only am I a conquering King on a conquering throne, and that brings victory, I will be on a judging throne as well, and I will separate the sheep from the goats. That's always been a passage that's frightened even believers for many, many years to know if they know Jesus or not, and if there's really fruit of that in their life. But the same Jesus who created the world, the Creator God, is the same one who will judge the entire world. So may you and I live out the grace of God in our lives as we serve this holy King. But you may say, Chris, that frightens me that Jesus is the judging King. I understand, but let me show you one more passage in Hebrews chapter 4 really quickly, where in case you have a fear of your inability to please the judging King, don't forget that Hebrews 4 calls him a priestly King. Listen to these words, Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest, it's Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Right here, the writer of Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest who can sympathize with every temptation we've ever had, but he's never sinned. Verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friends, Jesus does occupy and will occupy a throne of judgment, but he currently occupies a throne of grace. Now, I could spend the next hour and read to you what I believe are well over 100 verses in the Bible, 100 different passages that allude to Jesus as King, to his throne, to his King of Kings and Lord of Lords and who he is. And we could see more of the character and beauty of God and all of that. But I want to just focus on one passage that takes us back to his very first earthly kingdom. Now, that judgment kingdom's coming to earth someday, but his first earthly throne looked a little different. So let's finish our time together in Luke chapter 2, what we know as the Christmas story. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. It was an ordinary night that no one else knew what was happening, but then God shows up with his angels and something very important takes place. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" And then it says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on peace on earth, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.'" Verse 15, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." Why a manger throne? Why, again, anywhere a king rests becomes a throne. So the Savior of the world, the first place he rests is in a manger. Why a manger? Why is that important for you and me? The manger tells us a great story. It brings you a great promise. Understand, first of all, this manger was in Bethlehem. Well, what's important about Bethlehem? It was least among the people of Judah as far as the size and understanding. So why was it important? The word Bethlehem literally means house of bread. So it's the idea then that later we would see Jesus some 31, 32 years later stand and say, "I am the bread of life." It was a reminder, and it pointed to the fact and sealed the understanding that from him, from a manger, which sheep and oxen and other animals would eat, it was a reminder that he is the sustenance for us. He is the bread of life. He's the one that gives us life. If you're ever going to find grace in your life, you will solely find it at the pleasure of the King. Jesus brings you grace. If you're ever going to find new life, you will solely find it at the pleasure of the King who sits on the manger throne. Jesus brings us new life. He feeds that to us. He offers it to us without condition. That is our Savior King. And not only that, we see that it was in a manger which was lowly in the sense that there's no way it smelled good in that room on that day. It would have been full of animals and all kinds of animal things, and it would have been a place that had been a working understanding of a lambing cave or stall, and understanding that would remind us that Jesus did not come in the very splendor of the heart of Rome, as the song talked about, but he came lowly. He chose meekness over majesty for you and me. Why? It's a simple reminder that he came for everyone. If you are dealing with some anger and resentment, he came for you. If you are dealing with an addiction, he came for you. If you are dealing with unbelief, you're just struggling to believe it could all be real, he came for you. If you have a friend in some other part of the world who worships a false god, he came for them that they might believe in him and receive him. If there are those who say they deny a God exists, and that's the most growing area in our nation today, are the nuns, those that would say there is no God, he came for them that they would know him and come to know him. So the manger points to that. So glory be to you alone, the King who reigns on the manger throne. Listen to the words of that song the choir and Don sang earlier. Just a second verse, don't miss this. It says, "You could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome." Rome knew how to put on splendor and pomp and circumstance for their Caesars, for their leaders, for their rulers. And the song says, "You could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome. You could have shown them splendor like they'd never known. But you wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem, Creator, in the arms of common man. You will die for our redemption. You will rise so we can live. Glory be to you alone, the King who reigns on the manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own to Jesus who reigns on a manger throne. All hail the King. And that's what we come to celebrate today. That's the message for today. All hail the King. We come humbly to say, thank you, Jesus, for your first earthly throne. We come humbly to say, thank you, Jesus, that you rule and reign now from a conquering throne. We say, thank you, Jesus, that there will be a day you will come and bring judgment to all mankind and make all things right that have been made wrong. And we thank you for that. And we thank you most of all that you reign from a throne of grace. So, friends, today, as we start this Christmas season, as we're a couple of days into December now, December 3rd, as you move again, and I talked about last week, every time you see a manger, stop and think about the King. Now when you see a manger, stop and think about His majesty. Now when you see a manger, stop and think about His throne of grace. Now when you see a manger, realize there's coming a throne of judgment. Now when you see the manger, think about that He is a conquering King, and on we could go. It is His holy personality. It is His authority. It is His character. It is His power. So what will you do with the manger throne today? What will you do with that? Would you bow with me? With your heads bowed for just a moment, would you take just a moment to hear these scripture descriptions again? Let me just read to you a couple of them very, very quickly. First of all, in Hebrews 1, it says, your throne, O God, speaking of Jesus, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. He has anointed us with gladness. Then in Revelation, he says he is a conquering king. And we can sit with him. Then in Matthew 25, he reminds them that he will be a judging king and there will be a judgment throne to come. Then in Hebrews 4, he reminds us that there is a throne of grace that we can with confidence draw near to because Jesus is the King of grace. And then in Luke chapter 2, we find the Savior lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. He is the King who reigns on a manger throne. So with your head bowed, what about you? Have you been dealing with some resentment or anger or some sin problem or loneliness or depression or some issue in your life? Can I encourage you today to do what Jesus did? Jesus humbled himself to come to earth the way he did. Why in the world would we not humble ourselves before him? So I want to invite you, if that's you and there's a circumstance you want to bring to the Lord, I know you can deal with it at your seat. And I don't do this often, but instead I'm going to ask that you not deal with it at your seat, but that you come and you humbly get on your knees because he humbly came to the manger throne for you. Humbly get on your knees before him and ask him to help you. Ask him to move in power. Ask him to provide grace and deliverance. If you can't bend your knee physically, we understand. Maybe come just sit on the front row. But an act of humility before the humble King. But for those of us here that maybe there's someone that doesn't even know him and you're really afraid about that judgment where the sheep and the goats are separated, friends, you have a lot to fear. But I want you to know that that fear can be relieved. Because Jesus came to bring you grace and new life. He came to bring salvation to you. So right now, just stop and say, Jesus, I need you. I give you my life. Please save me. Commit your life to him right now. And then for the rest of us who know the Lord, can I encourage you and invite you to begin to pray for your family and friends and others that they will come and understand they can sit with Jesus. They can rest in him. They can abide in him. They can experience and come in confidence to his throne of grace. That they can understand that even though there's a throne of judgment, that we can live our lives in a way that are honoring to him and that others might come to know him and escape the judgment. Would you pray for your friends, for your family, for others? Maybe you've got another decision to make this morning. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Maybe you want me to pray with you. I'll be right here. Whatever God is saying. Father God, in this moment, we come to you. Lord, we are reminded that your name is wonderful. You are the mighty King, the master of everything. We are reminded that you are the King of all kings. So God, may we bend the knee. May we bow the heart. May we come to you as you deserve at the beginning of this nativity season. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.
Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship choir. I love that song. I love the message. Jesus, the King on a manger throne. You think about the throne, it was a manger, and the fact that it was not a chair, but there are so many iconic chairs throughout history. I want to name a few for you right now. I want you to think just about television and the movies for just a moment. There are a number of famous chairs that when you see them, people know what they represent. There's the Iron Throne. There's Archie Bunker's chair, the Matrix wingback chair, the Friend's couch. It's not really a chair, but you know what it is. The captain's chair from Star Trek, the Emperor's throne from Star Wars. All of these chairs find their significance in the personalities of the people who sat on them. Think about that for a moment. Personalities matter. And then there are the real life chairs that evoke authority. Think about a judge's chair in a courtroom chamber. The high back chair from the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Speaker of the House. And then you have the president's chair in the Oval Office, all evoking great authority. And then there are chairs that harness power. I named just a few. The captain's cockpit chair of a commercial airliner, there's power there. The operator's chair of a large excavator or dirt mover, I would love to be behind one of those someday. The driver's chair of an M1 Abrams tank. You get it? Those have great power behind them. But the most significant of all chairs is a throne. So I want to ask you rhetorically this morning, what makes a chair a throne? It's not ornate jewels. It's not gold. It's not embellishment. It is not finely, ornately carved wood. It's the king. It's the one who sits in it. If you were given a chance to sit on a royal throne, it would not make you a king or queen. Any more than it would make me a king or queen. But any chair a king rests on becomes a throne. And Jesus' throne is not like any of the other chairs I mentioned, but he does exemplify holy personality, authority, and power. And we will find the scripture talks about the personality and the power and the character of the throne of Jesus in multiple ways. Long before Jesus ever went to the manger throne, long before he will come again on his glorious throne, which will happen, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus has always been. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can look back and find Jesus from the beginning of time, Creator Jesus. We can look back and find the manger throne and the humble King, Jesus. You can look into your own life today and find the King of your hearts. He's on the throne of your life. We can look ahead and find the King who is going to come again. But one of the best definitions of Jesus as King is Hebrews chapter 1. If you'll take your Bible and turn there, please, to Hebrews chapter 1. It's not a normal Christmas passage. I understand that. But it gives us such great understanding of the power of Jesus and who he is and what he's come to do for us. Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1, the author says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things,
through whom also he created the world. Verse 3, he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you're my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6, and again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, God says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Now here's the key verse, verse 8, but of the son, Jesus, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. God the Father says of God the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Do you hear that? God the Father speaking of God the Son, saying, your throne will last forever. You do not change. When the earth passes away, you will still reign supreme. Three phrases for you this morning. Jesus has always been your Creator King. Jesus is our Savior King, and Jesus will return as our conquering King. He will come conquering the world. Listen to what Jesus says to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. In the first few chapters of Revelation, Jesus speaks to the churches in that time, and one for Laodicea. It's a very important message, but honestly, it's just as real and relevant for you and me today. Listen to what he says in Revelation 3:21. He says, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Friends, no matter what your situation is, we have an eternal victory in Jesus. Amen. Did you hear that? We have eternal victory in Jesus. Jesus tells the church in Laodicea, and he's saying to you and me, to those that have conquered, I will let you sit with me on my throne. In other words, he's saying, I'm the conquering King. I have conquered, and so I make a way for you. What does that mean for us? What's the implications for us? The implications are these. Jesus, the conquering King, sits with you. If you're here and you're dealing with some pain, he sits with you. If you're here and you're dealing with anger or resentment, listen, friends, he sits with you. If you're here and you're going through a struggle, he sits with you. If you're here in loneliness, he sits with you. On and on we can go. No matter what your circumstance today, we have a conquering King. He has a throne of victory. Now listen to Jesus describe himself in the final judgment seat throne someday to come. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks these words. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he's talking about himself, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will gather all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. Now that's a hard passage, but Jesus is saying, I will be on a judgment throne in a day to come. Not only am I a conquering King on a conquering throne, and that brings victory, I will be on a judging throne as well, and I will separate the sheep from the goats. That's always been a passage that's frightened even believers for many, many years to know if they know Jesus or not, and if there's really fruit of that in their life. But the same Jesus who created the world, the Creator God, is the same one who will judge the entire world. So may you and I live out the grace of God in our lives as we serve this holy King. But you may say, Chris, that frightens me that Jesus is the judging King. I understand, but let me show you one more passage in Hebrews chapter 4 really quickly, where in case you have a fear of your inability to please the judging King, don't forget that Hebrews 4 calls him a priestly King. Listen to these words, Hebrews 4:14. Since then, we have a great high priest, it's Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Right here, the writer of Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest who can sympathize with every temptation we've ever had, but he's never sinned. Verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friends, Jesus does occupy and will occupy a throne of judgment, but he currently occupies a throne of grace. Now, I could spend the next hour and read to you what I believe are well over 100 verses in the Bible, 100 different passages that allude to Jesus as king, to his throne, to his King of Kings and Lord of Lords and who he is. And we could see more of the character and beauty of God and all of that. But I want to just focus on one passage that takes us back to his very first earthly kingdom. Now, that judgment kingdom's coming to earth someday, but his first earthly throne looked a little different. So let's finish our time together in Luke chapter 2, what we know as the Christmas story. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. It was an ordinary night that no one else knew what was happening, but then God shows up with his angels and something very important takes place. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace on earth, and on earth peace among them, those whom he is pleased. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Why a manger throne? Why, again, anywhere a king rests becomes a throne. So the Savior of the world, the first place he rests is in a manger. Why a manger? Why is that important for you and me? The manger tells us a great story. It brings you a great promise. Understand, first of all, this manger was in Bethlehem. Well, what's important about Bethlehem? It was least among the people of Judah as far as the size and understanding. So why was it important? The word Bethlehem literally means house of bread. So it's the idea then that later we would see Jesus some 31, 32 years later stand and say, I am the bread of life. It was a reminder, and it pointed to the fact and sealed the understanding that from him, from a manger, which sheep and oxen and other animals would eat, it was a reminder that he is the sustenance for us. He is the bread of life. He's the one that gives us life. If you're ever going to find grace in your life, you will solely find it at the pleasure of the King. Jesus brings you grace. If you're ever going to find new life, you will solely find it at the pleasure of the King who sits on the manger throne. Jesus brings us new life. He feeds that to us. He offers it to us without condition. That is our Savior King. And not only that, we see that it was in a manger which was lowly in the sense that there's no way it smelled good in that room on that day. It would have been full of animals and all kinds of animal things, and it would have been a place that had been a working understanding of a lambing cave or stall, and understanding that would remind us that Jesus did not come in the very splendor of the heart of Rome, as the song talked about, but he came lowly. He chose meekness over majesty for you and me. Why? It's a simple reminder that he came for everyone. If you are dealing with some anger and resentment, he came for you. If you are dealing with an addiction, he came for you. If you are dealing with unbelief, you're just struggling to believe it could all be real, he came for you. If you have a friend in some other part of the world who worships a false god, he came for them that they might believe in him and receive him. If there are those who say they deny a God exists, and that's the most growing area in our nation today are the nuns, those that would say there is no God. He came for them, that they would know him and come to know him. So the manger points to that. So glory be to you alone, the King who reigns on the manger throne. Listen to the words of that song the choir and Don sang earlier. Just a second verse. Don't miss this. It says, you could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome. Rome knew how to put on splendor and pomp and circumstance for their Caesars, for their leaders, for their rulers. And the song says, you could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome. You could have shown them splendor like they'd never known. But you wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem, creator in the arms of common man. You will die for our redemption. You will rise so we can live. Glory be to you alone, the King who reigns on the manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own to Jesus who reigns on a manger throne. All hail the King. And that's what we come to celebrate today. That's the message for today. All hail the King. We come humbly to say, thank you, Jesus, for your first earthly throne. We come humbly to say, thank you, Jesus, that you rule and reign now from a conquering throne. We say, thank you, Jesus, that there will be a day you will come and bring judgment to all mankind and make all things right that have been made wrong. And we thank you for that. And we thank you most of all that you reign from a throne of grace. So friends, today, as we start this Christmas season, as we're a couple of days into December now, December 3rd, as you move again, and I talked about last week, every time you see a manger, stop and think about the King. Now when you see a manger, stop and think about his majesty. Now when you see a manger, stop and think about his throne of grace. Now when you see a manger, realize there's coming a throne of judgment. Now when you see the manger, think about that he is a conquering King, and on we could go. It is his holy personality. It is his authority. It is his character. It is his power. So what will you do with the manger throne today? What will you do with that? Would you bow with me? With your heads bowed for just a moment, would you take just a moment to hear these scripture descriptions again? Let me just read to you a couple of them very, very quickly. First of all, in Hebrews 1, it says, your throne, O God, speaking of Jesus, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. He has anointed us with gladness. Then in Revelation, he says he is a conquering King. And we can sit with him. Then in Matthew 25, he reminds them that he will be a judging King and there will be a judgment throne to come. Then in Hebrews 4, he reminds us that there is a throne of grace that we can with confidence draw near to because Jesus is the King of grace. And then in Luke chapter 2, we find the Savior lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. He is the King who reigns on a manger throne. So with your head bowed, what about you? Have you been dealing with some resentment or anger or some sin problem or loneliness or depression or some issue in your life? Can I encourage you today to do what Jesus did? Jesus humbled himself to come to earth the way he did. Why in the world would we not humble ourselves before him? So I want to invite you, if that's you and there's a circumstance you want to bring to the Lord, I know you can deal with it at your seat, and I don't do this often, but instead I'm going to ask that you not deal with it at your seat, but that you come and you humbly get on your knees, because he humbly came to the manger throne for you. Humbly get on your knees before him and ask him to help you. Ask him to move in power. Ask him to provide grace and deliverance. If you can't bend your knee physically, we understand. Maybe come just sit on the front row. But an act of humility before the humble King. But for those of us here that maybe there's someone that doesn't even know him and you're really afraid about that judgment where the sheep and the goats are separated, friends, you have a lot to fear. But I want you to know that that fear can be relieved because Jesus came to bring you grace and new life. He came to bring salvation to you. So right now, just stop and say, Jesus, I need you. I give you my life. Please save me. Commit your life to him right now. And then for the rest of us who know the Lord, can I encourage you and invite you to begin to pray for your family and friends and others that they will come and understand they can sit with Jesus, they can rest in Him, they can abide in Him, they can experience and come in confidence to His throne of grace, that they can understand that even though there's a throne of judgment, that we can live our lives in a way that are honoring to Him and that others might come to know Him and escape the judgment. Would you pray for your friends, for your family, for others? Maybe you've got another decision to make this morning. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Maybe you want me to pray with you. I'll be right here. Whatever God is saying. Father God, in this moment, we come to You. Lord, we are reminded that Your name is wonderful. You are the mighty King, the master of everything. We are reminded that You are the King of all kings. So God, may we bend the knee. May we bow the heart. May we come to You as You deserve at the beginning of this nativity season. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.